Hey there. Welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. I'm Bob Mackowitz. He is Maddie Cause. And we have the most important announcement in the history of the Macko and Cause podcast to share with you today.
That's right. In the illustrious history of the Macko and Cause podcast, no announcement has been as big as this one. And it's this. We will be doing our full podcast starting next Thursday, May 18th, and it'll be released each and every Thursday, barring some sort of, you know, emergency, but every Thursday, once a week to start the Macko and Cause podcast starring Bob Mackowitz and myself, Matt Cause.
I actually looked up the day in history, May the 18th, just to see if anything important happened that day.
Yeah.
What we would be joining. It's actually not that great a day. There's a few things. A couple of Bonaparte was named the Emperor of France.
Ah, there you go.
In 1804 by the French Senate.
Yeah.
So I guess there is a kind of a power-seeking and overreaching small guy thing we could say we're participating in.
It's a minute in, and you're already sort of making fun of my height. That's tremendous. The one thing.
A little cheap. By the way, also Yari Curry, 1990.
Oh.
Set an NHL record for most points in a finals game.
Yeah.
Oilers v. Bruins. 5 points, 2 goals, 3 assists.
Ironic because
like the worst of all the finals ever.
Well, the 90s finals. It's funny you mention that because a guy setting that sort of record yesterday, Alexander Ovechkin, again no points. But the one day you don't want to do it is April 20th. You know, everyone's like 420,
right?
But it's also Hitler's birthday, which I always wonder. People that believe in astrology but were born on April 20th, are they conflicted by that at all?
I don't know. I would think you'd be more conflicted if you were even kind of religious and you were born on June the 6th at 6 a.m. because then you would be like 666.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true.
I always thought that would be kind of hard to ignore.
Yeah.
That was November the 10th, which literally, again, like Robert Louis Stevenson, the author, was born that day.
I got Bob Hope, May 29th. So I got Bob Hope. That's the big one I got.
So we're starting up on May the 18th.
Yeah.
And it's going to be every Thursday. Maddie and I are going to release a new pod. Today's kind of like a pre-pod.
Yeah.
Pod. We had a couple things we wanted to get off our chest. So it's not technically a full podcast. It's still a promotional notification, I guess you would call it.
But, yeah. And going forward, we'll eventually have, you know, some sort of fancy or not so fancy, but intro. There'll be more bells and whistles as it goes on. But you bought a fancy new mic and a fancy new mic stand. So, you know, we're looking good.
And I had to take it on the streetcar, Maddie. I want to, before we get into it, because we should talk about the Raptors in a second before the topic becomes overdone in this city. But how many working streetcars do you think it took me to get from John Street and King?
John and King.
John and King to your place here in the distillery. And if you're not familiar with Toronto, in average city traffic, on one streetcar line, that would be about 8 to 12 minutes.
Yeah, and you're just going straight.
Straight line.
Only a couple kilometers.
Probably a dozen stops, right?
Yeah.
Dozen stops, maybe. How many working streetcars do you think it took me to get here?
It should take one.
Okay, it should
take one. It should take one.
It's not much of a point if it only took one. Okay. How many do you think it took?
So I'm not going to go like 400, but okay, three.
Four. It took four streetcars to go 12 stops.
You're going straight.
I know. I'm standing there. You mentioned the fancy mic, so I was being really protective. I was like, when you got something, you know, breakable, you know, in your knapsack and you're on the streetcar. So I was eager to get to your place because I just didn't want to carry around all this tech. I was nervous about it. So one streetcar rolls by out of service. Anything could happen. Next streetcar comes, and you know when you're getting ready mentally, you're thinking, okay, you're reaching in your pocket, getting your change.
3:25, getting ready.
Zoom.
Oh,
right past. So I get on the third one. I think that third's a charm. And we get about three stops, and the guy says,
attention, passengers. We will be getting off at Church Street due to a reassignment. Sorry. Another train will be coming in about 5 minutes.
Not actually true. It took about another seven or eight. So there was four streetcars it took me to get from John and King to your place. I'm off today, Maddie.
Yeah.
I'm already rattled.
Well, you shouldn't be. I mean, how many times, you know, during the days Macko and Cause radio show, was there some issue with the streetcar? And I think the worst part is when you realize I could have got to my destination quicker by walking.
And you're funny to deal with this because you're obsessed with time. People may not know this about you. They might because you've been on the air for a long, you know, a lot of years. But
yeah,
you are obsessed with time to the point where you actually strategize where you can put your shoes in the morning.
Yes.
So that they are closer to the door to save 4 seconds on your way out. Like you are literally about, you're like a Toyota car plan. Maximizing efficiency.
If I may be on brand for a second, you know what I was doing while waiting for you when you took the elevator up to my floor here?
Mm-hmm.
I untied the laces on my shoes that I'm going to be wearing later on today to save myself 8 to 10 seconds. So I pre-prepped my brown shoes because I'm having lunch with Gord Ash, former Jays general manager. So I saved
myself. Which we will get into later.
Yeah.
We will. So there you go. There you go. In fact, I would love maybe just as a... Oh, a recurring investigation on the program, a McEwen Cause podcast investigation, different things Matt does to save time during the day. It's fascinating because it's ingenious on one hand, a little twisted on another.
It is. It is a little obsessive. But if you're going to be obsessive about anything, it might as well be the only resource that you cannot add.
Yeah, and you can't renew time.
Yes, you cannot renew time.
That is true.
Yeah.
So talking about things that don't work, Maddie, let's talk about the, talking about the Raptors. I've been thinking about this on the way over here. We all know, obviously, the conversation in the city among sports fans has been somewhere between glum and hand-wringing about what the future is going to look like for this team. So Dwayne Casey, not necessarily endorsed by Masai Ujiri during his season presser, the ender as he was wrapping up, wants a culture change, feels like, you know, they can't keep swapping out players, something has to be done, the style of play has to change. So here's the question I want to ask you. Is whether or not the Raptors should retain Dwayne Casey as the head coach, is that an important decision, a big decision, or something else?
It is something else. If you think the problem is the coach, then that means you believe the talent is there to get to where you want to go, which is a championship. And the talent isn't there. And I'm not going to blame Dwayne Casey for something that the Chicago Bulls, when Derrick Rose was an MVP, couldn't do. Something that the Celtics, when they were at the end of their run with Garnett and Pierce, they couldn't do. What a 60-win Atlanta Hawks team couldn't do, and what a very good Indiana Pacers team couldn't do. The one thing none of them could do was beat LeBron James. What happened to Dwayne Casey has happened to many other great coaches, great players, MVP players, and Hall of Fame players.
I tend to think that they should retain his services. I'd be disappointed if he was fired.
Yeah.
Largely because I don't know that there's necessarily an upgrade. There's a lot of talk amongst Raptors fans that Jerry Stackhouse is the answer for the good job that he did with the 905.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps Nick Nurse gets bumped up from an assistant's position to the head coach, but I don't know necessarily what would change wildly just because you get Dwayne Casey out of there. And I'm with you on this one, Maddie, that in so many ways, roster is destiny in the NBA. It's not like the NFL where a brilliant tactician can take a pretty good team and turn them into a good team.
Mm-hmm.
It almost is like, I guess maybe the only equivalent that I could really say is the NFL quarterback situation. If you don't have the star, the guy, and that's a LeBron James, then it's really hard to make hay in the NBA. Roster is destiny.
It is. And yes, we understand the outliers. The Pistons in 2004 and the Dallas Mavericks when they beat the first Miami Heat team.
Although in fairness, they did have Dirk Nowitzki, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and that was, he was Dirk at maximum Dirk. But those are the few exceptions to the rule. And anyone who uses outliers for their argument, usually going to lose the argument. You're right. You need to have that guy. The Raptors don't have that guy.
So this brings it back to maybe the real important question. If it's not Dwayne Casey, then Kyle Lowry becomes the big question. He's a free agent. He's 31 years old. He's been terrific. He's an all-team NBA player.
Yep.
And in a lot of ways, his personality has become synonymous with this team. Scrappy, underdog, chip on the shoulder. We've watched him go from a bottom, middle to bottom of the first round, sort of NBA also ran to a legitimately terrific player. And it's been fun to go on that ride.
Yeah.
But he's going to get the max contract. He's going to get 5 years and he's going to make all the money that he can if he stays. So big decision, important decision.
Oh, you know, it is the biggest decision. And here's the thing. You do whatever you can to keep Kyle Lowry unless you believe you have found a good suitor for DeMar DeRozan. because if you decide, nope, we're going to walk away from Kyle Lowry, we're going to go for a bit of a rebuild. Well, you don't do a rebuild with DeMar DeRozan because DeRozan is too good to get you a top three chances to get like a top three lottery pick. So unless you've got a good destination where you're going to trade DeMar DeRozan and get back young players and draft picks.
But DeMar DeRozan wouldn't get you that, don't you think? I don't know that if you traded DeMar DeRozan in this offseason, like this is a terrific draft coming up. At least the prospects that the scouts look at this and say there are guys at the top of this lottery class that could be franchise changer. Lonzo Ball jumps to mind. He seems to get, well, maybe he gets a lot of the press because
he gets press because of his deck. No, hold on. No, wait. Let's just hold on
okay,
a second.
We're going to take a quick sidebar.
We are going to definitely take a sidebar here. Okay. Yes, every critic has said this is a great draft. But what I love about the NBA or the college basketball right now, no one knows any name. We know Grayson Allen.
Well, there's Markelle Fultz.
Do you know how many few people can list off what you just did there? I couldn't. I can only list
off. He's the number one. I know. In most people's mocks, he's the number one guy.
I can only list Grayson Allen because he's a jerk and he plays for Duke. And every
Jason Tatum.
And every year there's the white guy from Duke that everyone hates. And Lonzo,
Josh Jackson?
No, I don't know any of these guys. I don't know. And by the way,
doesn't mean they're not going to be great.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. It's always a funny thing about college basketball this year. It just doesn't resonate. We love March Madness, but we just can't name any of the players. But
okay, well, then can we say, as we steer back from the sidebar to the DeRozan question, whoever that person might be, that trading him doesn't necessarily give you a crack at that. Because DeRozan, look, everybody knows the same things that we know, which is DeRozan is a terrific player, but he might not be the guy that you build around. He might be the perfect second guy.
Yes.
So in the NBA sense of logic for GMs, why would you give up someone who could potentially be that guy at the top of the lottery for someone who's older and isn't that guy?
You're not
maybe Magic Johnson does that deal with the Lakers. Maybe.
Yeah. And that's where you go after. And listen, I don't think you're going to get a top three or even a top five pick for DeRozan. My point is, if you don't bring back Lowry, then you're going for the rebuild. Then you have to trade DeMar DeRozan and get as much as you can for him. I don't think there's a lot of suitors. So I think you bring back Kyle Lowry. There is an honor for competing. There is an honor for the 50-win team. And you try to rebuild around the edges. And I think that's the only answer for the Raptors.
So then I want to analyze this thing that Masai said where we need a culture reset.
Yes.
What does that even mean? We need a culture reset. Because those are the kinds of things that drive me nuts. Washington loses to Pittsburgh last night in Game 7. The first thing they're falling over themselves in the NHL mainstream press to talk about how it's an example of how they just don't have that winning character. Yeah. What the hell does that mean? I mean, isn't it at a certain point like this whole idea of the culture? What could you possibly want to reset about the Raptors' culture?
Nothing.
They're terrific guys, and they're all hard workers.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are you resetting?
You're not resetting anything. That's just Masai Ujiri just falling into the GM trap of I have to use these words. Like these are just the catchphrases. It's no different than Coke is it. You know, I mean, that's all that that's,
culture changes it.
Yeah, that's all that is. You know what a cultural reset is? The real one is no more ISO ball. Bring in more 3-point shooters and recognize that guys like Valanciunas might not have a value in the NBA. Culture reset means nothing. It means nothing at all.
It's a strategy reset.
Yeah.
What you really need. But do they have the... Look, I have been defending Dwayne Casey throughout the course of the year to the many, many people who would be his detractors.
And, yes.
And I keep saying, look, like who are you going to get on that team to play San Antonio Spurs-style ball? I think Kyle Lowry probably could with a different group around him. I think he's probably the one closest to that. But DeMar DeRozan isn't that guy.
He's not. And if DeMar DeRozan's not that, you're not going to have that.
Damari Carroll hasn't been healthy enough to be any kind of player. And Jonas Valanciunas in your starting lineup, he's not that guy.
Nope.
And Patrick Patterson has become a mess. He swings the ball, but he refuses to shoot it.
Yeah.
You keep going down the roster. And who are the guys that Dwayne Casey could turn to and say, we're going to play a really focused motion offense kind of ball?
Norman Powell, who was in the D-League last year.
Right. Now, Norman Powell's a nice story.
He is. He's a great story.
But you've watched him play. You kind of hope that he turns into a Terrence Ross, sixth or seventh guy on the team.
A better version of Terrence Ross.
First or second guy off the bench.
Yeah.
And we're all excited about it. He's a second-round pick who turned into a guy who's going to be a useful NBA player. But you're talking about going up against the Cavs? If I may borrow from Allen Iverson and adjust just a little bit, we're talking about LeBron.
Yep.
you're going up against it with Norm Powell. Wasn't it funny watching him play defense again?
Oh.
He kind of felt like he looked like a wind up toy mouse that was being bounced against a mountain.
Yeah, and it's not fair. And culture reset, what Masai is really saying is, with this core, we've been 17-24 in the playoffs. Now, let's get rid of the LeBron games. 15-16 in the playoffs. They have been outscored. Their offense in the playoffs ranks near the bottom of all the playoff teams at the end of each individual postseason for the last 4 years. So why is it the offense is stagnant in the playoffs? And a team that has got over 50-plus wins, or 50-56 the year before, 17-24 in the playoffs.
It's interesting that people who would say that they took a step back against the Cavs, I think they actually stayed exactly the same. There was no step back.
Yeah, which
there
means
was a sweep this year as opposed to the 6-game series last year.
Yeah.
But had Kyle Lowry been even kind of healthy and in the lineup, don't you think they would have won at least one of those games at home? It would be a 5 or 6-game series. And also, Cleveland got better. Let's not forget that. For all the people who said the Raptors took a step back, because Kyle Korver killed us.
Yes, and Shane Frye. No, you know who got better?
Who?
LeBron James. LeBron.
He did get better.
Here's the crazy point. This is, and I heard this on the Lebatard show the other day, this isn't a new LeBron, or this is a better LeBron. This is a LeBron we've never really seen before in terms of his three-point shooting and his percentage. He scored like 39 points on 14 shots. That's the thing. So I agree. The Raptors didn't take a step back, but by not taking a step forward, that in it, you can't keep going sideways.
So we're talking Raptors right now and what you do next. And we both agree that Dwayne Casey, you keep him, you get rid of him. It might have some impact, but until you actually address the fact that your roster is not good enough to compete with Cleveland. And let's not forget that Boston is going to get a lot better because they could get Gordon Hayward.
Yep.
And they're going to have a top pick. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed, even though that we don't know their names, it's very possible that there's going to be young blood coming in. That's going to be terrific. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and we think we learned a lesson about how good Giannis is going to be. Antetokounmpo. Do you want to try it?
No. You know, my dad...
I've been waiting for this, actually. I've been waiting 2 years.
Giannis...
2 years to ask you
Giannis
how to pronounce his name.
Antetokounmpo. Never
mind. Is this real?
Yes.
Are you trying?
I don't know.
Come on. Tell me the truth. Are you trying?
Giannis Antetokounmpo. No, I can't.
Deep breath.
Can you say it one more time?
Antetokounmpo.
Antetokounmpo. That's as best it's going to be.
I don't know if I got it exactly right, but I'm pretty sure I was closer than a titty.
Yeah, now I just sound like a 12-year-old watching Porky's. But yes.
I don't know if it was funny, that line or the sigh afterwards. It's the resignation.
The resignation.
Unlike LeBron, you are not going to get better.
Yeah, like the number one argument for why you blow it up is because you see how much better Milwaukee's going to be. You see that Boston is going to have a top 5 pick this year and most likely next year. You still got Cleveland. So that's your argument, actually, if you want to do blow it up. But
so do you.
Look,
I don't really know.
As I
try to put your feet to the fire, I don't know either. Because part of me says, look, the sensible thing to do is you retain Kyle Lowry, because you can always trade him if you have to. If you get halfway through next year and you're thinking this isn't going the right direction, he's a tradable guy. DeMar is a tradable guy. We all know that Jonas, if they can get a halfway decent deal for him, they'll make that deal. Serge Ibaka, I'm not sure what you do with, just because he's going to command a lot of dough on the open market. And I also worry about his aging. There were games, I can't remember which game it was against the Cavs, but he had 2 rebounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to work at the 5, is it?
Yeah, regular season Ibaka was looking good, and we were talking ourselves into, you know, hey, he's going to be much better than what he was in Orlando. And then the playoffs, he was fine, you know.
I think there were games where he was really good. He was certainly good as the Milwaukee Bucks series went on, and that was with a busted up ankle that he twisted in that first game. But it's just, these guys are going to cost a lot of money. PJ Tucker, would I like to retain him? Yeah, that sounds great. But you know, with that playoff performance, he's going to command top dollar.
They'll go in the tax. I mean, for the Raptors to compete and to bring everyone back, they are going to be way over the luxury tax.
I think you're right. Masai is so Teflon right now that we don't even blame him for the Damari Carroll deal, which in a lot of ways killed this team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, assigning, you know, $16, $17 million a year to that guy. And we got him for 2 more years.
And
maybe in 1 year after this, you could flip him to a team that's just looking for an expiring contract.
Yeah.
But he's a lodestone going into next year.
And the thing about Damari Carroll is we all expected him, hey, if he's healthy, he can be the Atlanta guy. But a couple things. He had that one great year with Atlanta. When they won 60 games, when every piece worked perfectly, him there. It's like, you know, you didn't mind Ringo when he was surrounded by the rest of the Beatles. No one's buying, you know, a Ringo solo act.
So if I can use your Beatles analogy, Damari Carroll was like a George Harrison when he was with the Atlanta Hawks.
Yes.
And then he came to Toronto and quickly turned into the Pete Best.
He turned into, I got my mind set on you. That horrible, oh, I'm peeking. That horrible George Harrison song.
You're actually getting redder as you say this.
Oh my,
the veins in your temple are starting to bulge.
It's the worst written song in the history of rock and roll, is I Got My Mind Set on You. Everyone listening, Google that song, or Google that song and the lyrics.
It's a good question, actually. What's the worst song by a great songwriter?
But it's going to take money. A whole lot of spending money. It's going to take plenty of money to do it right, child. That's the song. That's the song. Back and away from the mic.
Tough but fair.
Do we want to...
So anyway, all right, well, let's just put a cap on this whole raps thing. You know, the Macko and Cause podcast, pre-pod edition.
We got to do cake rankings before we go.
We're going to get to that in just a second.
Yeah, I got my list.
So Kyle stays or goes to you?
Stays.
Yeah, me too.
He stays,
but he's on a short leash, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You got your finger way closer to the button to blow this thing up.
Yes.
You can bring this team back and then blow it up for parts later.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem with that in my mind, this is what I've come to resolve myself to, is you're too close and there's too much value in this team to blow it up right now.
Yeah.
But by waiting a year or two to do it,
you are
devaluing the pieces, the assets, what you could get back, because
yes,
your tradable pieces are going to be devalued.
Yeah, I think
so. There is that risk.
Yeah, if the team looks the same 40 games into next year, then hit that button.
You know what's funny? Before we get into cake rankings, it suddenly dawned on me, Maddie, that we haven't done a show in 2 years.
Yes.
And we were notorious for not sticking to the sports script.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the longest sports conversation you and I have ever had on mic.
Yeah.
And in theory, we have no bosses anymore to tell us stop it.
That's true, because
we are such contrarians that the second we started our pre-pod,
yeah,
the first thing we did was have an extended conversation about Toronto sports.
Yeah, we really did. And because sometimes when you do the radio, it'd be like you would get an email going, can you get back to the big story, you know, when we just go off on other tangents.
And let's face it, most of the time I was there sort of, I felt a little bit like a rodeo clown at times, right? Like you would be the bull bouncing around in the ring, and every once in a while I'd be like, hey, come on over here.
Yeah, get back over here. Come on.
Over here.
Let's talk about Phil Kessel.
Let's make sure you don't run into any hapless bystanders.
Yeah. So one thing we're going to do every week
is
we'll get, and this is for the listeners, we want you to tweet us something for us to rank. And it can be anything. It can be, you know, your favorite meal, you know, just your top five meats, top five video games, top five Tom Hanks performances, whatever. And we will rank them for you. It's something we both enjoy. I love doing rankings. So we'll get, people can tweet us every week. And someone wanted us to give our cake rankings.
How about this? Just so we don't do 10 separate rankings, why don't you do your top five and I'll tell you whether or not I agree with you.
Okay.
Shall we do that?
Sure.
We'll go one by one?
Yeah. Okay. From 5 to 1.
Ascending order?
Ascending, yeah. From 5 to 1. This is funny. Ascending, that would be from 5 to 1. Number 5, red velvet cake. First, the aesthetic. It looks so great. It just looks and feels a little bit different.
Even the name.
Yeah.
Red velvet.
Yeah,
it's like a Janet Jackson record. It's so sassy.
Exactly. And not when she was like in the more military, you know, Janet Jackson, the more sexy, you know, Janet
Red
Jackson.
Red velvety cakey Janet Jackson.
Exactly.
Right.
Number 4, coffee cake.
Oh, by the way, I do agree with that.
Yeah.
It deserves to be in your top 5.
Nice.
Red velvet, nice pick. Nice pick. Good start, Maddie.
Okay.
Good start.
Number 4, coffee cake.
Nope.
Oh, that was quick.
Nope.
All right, moving on.
Can I explain why?
Sure, no? All right.
Because is coffee cake good on its own? Would you ever say, I would like a piece of coffee cake without the coffee?
Yes, because I'm not much of a coffee drinker. And just the cinnamon, and sometimes there's a little bit of chocolate thrown in, depending on, you know, the preference of it. But it's just, it's got that caramel and, you know, the bit of the coffee. And to me, it's just delicious.
See, this is going back to the pumpkin pie argument, right? Where you love pumpkin pie above all other pies.
Yes.
Right?
Of course.
And my argument against it is, if you can only have it at one time of year and served in a very specific way with a dollop of whipped cream, mm-hmm, with your, you know, after your turkey, then it might be a fun experience, but it doesn't deserve
that's
to be
that's nothing
at the
against
top.
So, the pumpkin pie. That's against big pie in general that restricts the pumpkin
but
pie.
But hear me out here. So if coffee cake, yep, really only works in this specific setting, of a coffee, then it's a totally fine snack. But you can't put it in the top five for all the good work that the other cakes do, Maddie.
I'm putting it at number four. Coming in at number three, chocolate mousse cake.
Yeah,
not chocolate cake, but chocolate mousse.
Yeah, no, I like that because the mousse, richer.
Exactly.
Even richer. You know what it's like? Mm. It's like double icing.
Yes.
No, it's not even like double icing. You know, it's like better icing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's
like icing that went to like an Ivy League school.
Yeah. It's the Harvard of icing. And
I like that.
And the other icing is some junior college.
Snacka cum laude.
Yeah. At number two, and this is the just store-bought white birthday cake.
Like a Betty Crocker one?
Just the white. In a pan. The white birthday cake. The simplest ones. If I'm talking about just the cake that I've always found consistent joy, even when I'm at, you know, a birthday party for a nephew or a niece that's like 4 years old, and it's like, here's the kid's cake, and it's the white cake. I'm like, give me a slice of that. I'm no snob. You know, just the nice, simple cake.
I like that pick. I don't know if I would put it that high, but I like that it's in your top five. The simple cake, the one that comes in a pan, sometimes you put sprinkles on the top of it. Usually you eat half the canister of icing and then put the other half on the top of the cake. It reminds me of those, like, back when we were kids and you didn't have the fancy stuff kind of cakes that you would do. Well, you always had fancy stuff. But, like, for those of us who didn't. Remember like homemade hamburgers?
Yes.
And you would get the white bread toast and that would be your bun.
Yep.
And it would literally eat through the bread from the grease.
Oh yeah. 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 Just by then it's a soggy mess.
Exactly. But more fun than the store bots, you know, except for McDonald's, which is always great. Okay. So that one deserves to be there, Maddie.
And number,
I think you're at 50% right now.
And at number one, and this is controversial, tiramisu. Tiramisu is delicious. I mean, there's so many different elements. There's chocolatey, there's creamy. Is that alcohol? Is there coffee? Number one for me. First time I was in Italy, I had made a goal that I was going to have tiramisu every day. And Bob, like other heroes out there that I am, I kept to that goal. I gained a lot of weight. Number one for me, and it's controversial. Some people don't believe it's cake. Tiramisu, number one.
So what do you want to do first? Do you want to do why you're wrong about that pick, or do you want to do in the way that you embarrassed yourself yet again? Which do you want to pick first?
How do you spell condescending? I always forget.
I feel like you should have the choice. Let's do how you got it. Let's do the embarrassment factor. You love tiramisu so much.
Yeah.
Why can't you pronounce it correctly then?
Tiramisu.
What the hell is tiramisu?
I mispronounced it.
Yeah.
Tiramisu.
You love it so much, and you ate it in Italy every day.
Yes.
But you can't say what it is.
No wonder the Italians were wondering what I was ordering. It didn't
bad. I love chocolate cake. Love chocolate cake. That may be my favorite.
All right. All right. So, hey, everyone, I mispronounced something.
Now, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Go for it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But you're still not off the hook for the tiramisu.
Okay. So why is it not number one?
Because it's not a cake. It's a dessert. It's not a cake.
I went to a variety of cake websites.
Okay.
And tiramisu was there.
You know, and people predicted that Trump would lose the election. Just because you read it online, Matt, doesn't make it true. It's not a cake. It's a dessert. If you had Nutella with a ton, like a piece of toast with Nutella on it, with a ton of Nutella, does it become a cake?
No, because Nutella is disgusting.
It's not
tiramisu. You get it in in the same sort of container you get a cake in. You got to cut it up. You get the little ladle thing, the little serving knife or whatever it is to take it out. Tiramisu, it looks like a cake. It tastes like a cake. Bob, it's 2017. And I think, and you there trying to divide me, I'm inclusive. Hey, tiramisu, come on in. I'll let you over the Bob Mackwitz wall, and you can be in my dessert world.
My politics of dessert division are antiquated.
You throw Trump first.
Yep, that carrot cake is the best cake.
Oh, God.
Carrot cake
God,
is
we're
going to
go
cake.
So... No, carrot cake is a vegetable. I will, and a second ago I'm talking about everyone being inclusive. I'm now going to pivot from that. I will not
That's not like you.
Yeah.
That's not like you to suddenly turn on a dime.
I will not have a vegetable in my dessert.
See, the genius,
carrot cake.
See, the genius of carrot cake is that you can have it as a dessert, but you can also have it for breakfast and never apologize for it.
Oh, what about coffee cake? You can have that for breakfast,
but
you don't
have
to apologize.
No, you can have carrot cake on its own. That's the genius of it.
The only good thing is
it has all the requirements.
Yeah.
Tastes delicious.
Nope. The only good thing is the frosting. That's it.
Could you wake up in the morning and before you go to work, fire up a quick plate of tiramisu.
I've done it before.
Should you?
Of course not.
Carrot cake, you can do that and not feel bad about it.
Exactly. Oh, you just fell into a trap. You know what makes a great dessert?
Hmm.
Not something that makes you feel guilt-free. No, a dessert is decadent. A dessert, you're like, I'm getting away with something. Carrot cake is, oh, this is good to do with what I'm doing, crunches and exercise. Sorry, Bob. If one of the qualifiers is you can feel good about it, I don't want that in my dessert world.
Maddie.
Check.
You make a good point.
Thank you.
If you had something really tasty,
yeah,
would you say it's better to have lots of it or a tiny little bit of it?
Lots of it.
Right. So carrot cake, which you can have more of,
uh-huh,
and is delicious. Let's just say for argument's sake you thought it was good. I know you don't, but let's just say you thought it was good. Wouldn't it be the dessert that defies the expectations of desserts because it's actually good and you can have tons of it? Have it at every damn meal you choose. As opposed to just a tiny sliver of it?
Yes,
more. What would you rather have, Matt? A delicious bottle of wine,
mm-hmm,
or a quick sip of delicious wine?
I would like to have the full bottle and maybe order another Magnum afterwards.
Yeah, right. So why are you so down on something that you can enjoy en masse?
All right.
I think that I've actually defied. In fact, I'm blowing the game up. I am the game blower upper of desserts by throwing out. Like, you are living in the old world of desserts.
Uh-huh.
You are analog desserts. You are, I can't think of anything else.
Old man on the lawn.
VHS and beta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I, on the other hand, am the, what are we on, by the way? Audio boom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm the audio boom of desserts. By the way, I think a top five,
mm-hmm,
is maybe a lot.
Are you kidding?
We've discussed cakes for like 12 minutes.
Hold on. I didn't even... Cheesecake.
What did you do when
you were on flourless cake. Didn't even make it.
Did you just run from one commercial to the other and do this?
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go over?
It went very well.
For who?
Well, it went over well for a while. By the way, Bob, when we're... Okay, and the final point
before
we wrap this up.
Okay. Sure.
So by your logic, when we do top five vegetables, I'm going to say Kit Kat. Why not? I'll throw in a Kit Kat.
But a Kit Kat's not a vegetable.
Your argument
is so confused. You're going to start tweeting at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm, talking about how Bob Mackwitz on Deface the Nation, mm-hmm, made some crazy claims about vegetables and desserts. Sad. Oh, speaking of Twitter, by the way, we're going to start up a Macko and Cause podcast Twitter feed.
Yeah.
That'll be out either today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And an Instagram page. I got to figure out how you and I can both control the Instagram page, though. We should be able to add photos from both of our lives.
I don't even know how to do Instagram, so I'll have to figure that out first.
I can't wait to watch you try to understand all these new social platforms.
I just do Twitter.
You still have a BlackBerry.
Yeah,
I do.
On your
computer right now. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
It says Edsel at the bottom.
It's an Acer. You know, it's not a bad old computer. It's working
here. Like the GMC Acer. What was that car called? Was it the Pacer or the Racer? Remember those old AMC cars?
Mm-hmm.
GMC? AMC.
Have you got your license yet, Bob?
Wow. You know, the problem with that is no. And no matter what I say, my wife does the same thing. However close I might be to winning an argument,
yep,
she just brings up the fact that she drives me everywhere.
Who's getting their license first?
Me,
your daughter, neighbor? Charlotte, or you?
I think I am. I think.
Do we end it there?
Macko and Cause podcast pre-pod next week. May the 18th, we're up for real. We're going every week after that. We're going to bring back what they said, what they meant.
Yep.
We're bringing back blank in six words.
Mm-hmm.
Raptors, Leafs, Jays, whatever. Blank in six words. Taking your emails and your tweets. Check us out on Twitter, Macko and Cause podcast Twitter feed to be up later today. Also the Instagram account, as soon as Matt can figure out how to contribute to it.
Yep.
That could take a while.
That
I'm not
going
to lie to you. That one's a work in progress.
Yeah, you can do that.
And a parting word for me? I just want to say shout out to Bruce Boudreau. His team, the Minnesota Wild, loses in the first round, gets pretty much cleaned out,
yep,
by the St. Louis Blues. And last night, Anaheim beats Edmonton in a game seven.
Yeah.
Precisely the kind of thing that he didn't seem to be able to win. His team, Minnesota, terrific this year. They deserve to win. They deserve to do better. A game seven, it's a coin toss. Randy Carlyle last night happened to win it. But boy... if you were him waking up today, you got to be thinking, really? You couldn't lose just one more for me? Tough offseason, buddy.
Kessel, Phaneuf, Carlisle, all still in the NHL playoffs.
Wow. I didn't even think my... Okay, next week?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yeah.
Thursday?
Yep.
All right, done and done.
Take care, everybody.